This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. واشهد ان محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم وبعد يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah azza wa jalla. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continue to always remind myself and you of taqwa Allah azza wa jalla. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with an inner awakening, a privacy between us and him that is of more importance to us in our private capacity and ibadah of him than what we seek to display and to show to each other dramatically in our day-to-day life. Allahumma ameen. It's always a pleasure, subhanAllah, to visit Malaysia. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning to bless the people of Malaysia, to bless their governors and their administrators, to bless their economy and to bless the kindness that they have given to many of their brothers and sisters around the world. And subhanAllah, just walking through the Matrade venue coming up to speak to you today, just seeing the diversity of the booths and the efforts for those who are in Syria and those who are in Palestine and the cross-section of cultures that you have embraced into this society to bring people together in a way that is an acknowledgement of the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a fundamental and an enormous achievement. And I say to you, to those of you, alhamdulillah, whether you are responsible for it or not, جزاكم الله عن أمة الإسلام خير الجزاء. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for the leadership that you take on many of the issues that matter to our ummah. I begin with this introduction because we're speaking about manhood, الرجولة, المروءة. And it's tough to actually speak about this as a man. Because the implication, of course, is that يعني انت استكملت, you're full, you're خلاص, you're perfect, you're confident enough to lecture men about being a man. And subhanAllah, from the very beginning, I wish to make this disclaimer. جل من لا ينسى. There's none that doesn't forget. And there is none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is fitting of the concept of us making tasbih of him. That he is subhanAllah, meaning that he is the only one who is complete without tarnish. He's the only one who is unchangeable in his qualifications, in his names and meanings, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, whenever we speak about some of the things that relate to some of the sifat of Allah, because this will tie into what I say to you. To become a good man, you want to take on the traits and the names that Allah has given to himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And Allah says to you, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Worship Allah through those names. And what it means is, take upon yourself the sifa, the characteristic that I have qualified in perfection in who I am, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah says, الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. The ever-merciful will show his greatest mercifulness to those who show mercy to others in society. ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. If you show your mercy to those who you live with on this earth, the one above the heavens, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will show you the mercy that you seek of him Azza wa Jalla. And therefore I want you to have this concept that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a part of my aqidah, my belief and your belief, is that his sifat are azali, they're unchanging. You might come to me today and mashallah I'm feeling good, alhamdulillah. Yesterday I was a little bit grumpy. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. You know, I was supposed to come in on Friday. I was leaving Perth at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I went straight from work. My brother picked me up from work, took the kids from school, dropped me straight to the airport so I can catch the 4 o'clock flight. And subhanAllah, I sat on that plane till nearly 10 o'clock. We didn't take off. And they found a leak in the engine. And alhamdulillah, I was happy. You know, we stayed back in Perth. The next day, we were supposed to leave at 7 in the morning, didn't leave till 11, so I missed the day with you yesterday. And inshallah, we have an opportunity to make it up. But I was a bit grumpy yesterday. Normally, mashallah, ana bashush, I'm a nice guy. Mashallah, Allah, a nice guy. You come and brother, yeah, I do, I give you a hug and a greeting. Mashallah, okay, the habibuma. But yesterday, was yani. And this is how we are as human beings. My condition changes in accordance to what's inside me. So you might approach me, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ would teach us. Part of our fiqh as people of Islam, that just that you're a qadi, you're in a position of trust where you're going to make judgments between people. And you woke up in the morning and your wife kicked you out of bed. Alit lak yalla ruh. And now you're going to sit in judgment between husband and wife. La. Rufi'at al-jalsa. There's no qada today, you got to come back another day. Why? Because inside me, I had this experience. This is from the amana, from the tadreed, from the teachings that we're taught. That you can't put yourself in a position where inside there's something with you, and now you're going to sit between people kind of have some of the same thing. You must recuse yourself. Maybe give it to another person to judge, give it at another time, in another opportunity, and so on. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unchanging. So you might come to me yesterday, and I have no karam in me. I'm very ungenerous, my heart is tight, and I'm closed. وَلَمْ أُرَحِبْ بِكْ. And I'm not very kind. And then you come to me today, and say, subhanAllah, what's wrong with this brother? Yesterday I said, salamu alaykum, he nods at me. Today he says, وَرَحْمَةُ wa وَبَرَكَاتُهُ مَغْفِرَتُهُ وَفَرَشُ شَاي وَأَهْرَ. What happened to the brother? He changed, I changed, in accordance to what I'm dealing with. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman even when you don't deserve the Rahman. Allah is Kareem even when you don't deserve His Karam. Allah is everything without change in accordance to any circumstance. He does not change, subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى جَلَّ عَنِ الشَّبِيهِ. Nothing is similar to him. And this becomes very important. So when we begin talking about manhood and al-rujula and muru'a, I may have it today. Subhanallah, I might forget it tomorrow. يعني I might be صادق today. We're going to say, you know, الرجال رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. True men are those who are truthful. And subhanAllah, you say, oh, Brother Yahya is talking about truth. And subhanAllah, that one day he gave us a wobbly something. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbi. Because I'm a human being. And one of the greatest hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. And it's just a sentence. The Prophet ﷺ led the Sahaba in his salah. وَصَلَّ الْعَصْرَ خَمْسَ رَكْعَاتِ. And his salah, he prayed it 5 rak'ah, not 4. Nobody said to him, Allahu Akbar, none of the women, nothing. Nobody said anything. After the salah is finished, people are leaving. They say, Ya Rasulullah, نُصَلِّيهَا خَمْسًا. From now on, يعني it's 5. He said, what do you mean? He said, Ya Rasulullah, you prayed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was 5, not 4. So he said to them, this golden statement. He said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. I am merely a human being. أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَ. I forget, I'm prone to forget. I'm prone to make mistakes. And subhanAllah, when you look at the fiqh, in every way you and I can make a mistake in salah, the Prophet made a mistake similar to it. He added once an extra rak'ah, he took once an extra, did a rak'ah less. He didn't sit once in tashahhud. All of it was summarized and shown in his actions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa innama ana bashar. I'm a human being. Ansa kama tansaw. And I want you to keep that in your mind for anything that you hear, heard yesterday, hear today, and anything you will hear into your future from any human being. There's no one who stands on a platform like I stand today that has any measure above you that is greater than you, except in what Allah knows about them in their privacy. There are things I can teach you, and wallahi subhanAllah, there's many things you can teach me. There's brothers in the audience today, there's brothers in the audience, mashallah, there was one brother, he's got a PhD in artificial intelligence. Well, he can lecture me on artificial intelligence all day. Maybe I can speak to you about one thing, you can speak to me about 100 things. Don't ever take that a person who speaks to you with some position of authority, you confuse it as being a final say or an only representation of the faith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innama ana bashar. Ansa kama tansawun. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Let's talk about that difficult topic. Ar-rujula. In the siyaq, in the discussions of the Quran, Allah makes a distinction between a male and a rajul. A dhakar and a rajul. There's a huge difference between being a male and being a man, even in language. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about manliness, He speaks about it with qualification, with sifat, with certain things you have to do to attain that level. And when you have dropped out of doing those sifat, you drop out of that concept of masculinity. Now notice that the Arab, even before Islam had arrived to them with the Prophet ﷺ, they used to harbor such a great value on this concept of rujula and muru'ah, that this person, he's a man. In the Arabic language, I want you to make note that women were described with masculine characteristics. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha, she's described, كانت عائشة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها ورضي الله عن أباها وصلى الله على سيدنا نبينا محمد زوجها عائشة أم المؤمنين الحميراء رضي الله عنها. She's described in Sahih al-Bukhari, كانت عائشة رضي الله عنها رجلة, not رجل, رجلة, meaning that she beat all the men in the elements and character of masculinity and manliness. It wasn't seen, this concept, when we talk about manliness, it's not a character that's about your sexual orientation. Are you a male or a female? No. It's about your characteristics. If you were to put Aisha radiallahu anha here, and you were to say truthfulness, Aisha radiallahu anha, fiqh, Aisha radiallahu anha, courage, Aisha radiallahu anha, perseverance, Aisha radiallahu anha, sabr, Aisha radiallahu anha, ta'dilu rijal. You put her in one scale, she would speak with bravery. Even to, you know, subhanAllah, some of the sahaba, you and I, we magnify them. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave a statement about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Balaghat Aisha. He said something about women, that if a woman crosses in front of your prayer, and if a dog crosses in front of your prayer, then your prayer is broken. She said, kadhab, he lied about the Prophet. Oh, Abdullah ibn Umar, Allahu Akbar, radiallahu anhuma. Aisha was decisive. Ibn Abbas responds. She exceeded that knowledge, that capacity, that discernment, that fiqh. She held her position in society. So when people describe Aisha, no man could stand in front of her. Rajula, exceeded all men. So I want you to think of it in this characteristic. When we talk about manliness, I'm not talking about, big muscles and so on, right? We're talking about inside you that shows outwardly who you are from the inside, from your core. Some of the scholars, they say that the Prophet ﷺ, Islam was delivered between two women, radiallahu anhuma, anhun. Islam arrived to Khadija, in the household of Khadija, and the Prophet ﷺ's life ended in the embrace of Aisha. Khadija, zammiluni, she hugged him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah la yasuhuka abada. Allah will never tarnish you. Allah will never bring harm to you. She hugged him. And the final moment of breath of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bayna, now he's on my chest, in my lap, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was leaning on me. I saw him put his hand up and it fell in my lap, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore this is your faith. It's encapsulated between that position. And therefore it tells you something about your perspective of being a man. That one of the greatest opportunities you have to show your true nature as a man is qualified in that moment you take on that responsibility. From the moment you're born to your mother until you climatize and accept half of your deen with a spouse. That's a major, major step. So let's hear what Allah describes men as being in the Quran. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الرجال, men, قوامون على النساء. First ayah we study. True men are those who are qa'im, upright, standing in attention, waiting in service, have taken the responsibility of the women in their life. Subhanallah. Al-Rijal, قوامون على النساء. Qa'im means you're standing up. We say Qiyam, you're standing for Salah. Qiyam al-Layl, standing all night in prayer. When you look at all of the Prophets of Allah, one of their primary tasks, alayhim as-salam ajma'een, was to look after their women. So Allah says to you in the Qur'an, I never sent a messenger, رَسُولًا إِلَّا لَهُ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً, except I gave for that man, that prophet of mine, that messenger of mine, wives or a wife and children. Even Isa alayhi salam is going to marry from our ummah. If the sisters would hear, they would say, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Allah. Isa, mashallah, I'm ready. That's what they would say. He's going to marry, يَتَزَوَّجُ مِنْكُمْ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Every messenger of Allah, none were sent without that responsibility. How could you tell to people, Akhi, be good to your wife? What do you know about it, Akhi? What do you know? أنت قربت؟ شربت اللي أنا بشربه؟ Have you been drinking what I'm drinking, the juice I'm drinking, Akhi? Don't you know how difficult it is? Oh, you have to treat your children. Akhi, where's your children? Look at the examples Allah gives you. In الرجال قوامون على Nuh alayhi salam. His son runs away from Tawheed to his death. Lut alayhi salam, his wife, runs away from Iman and purity. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he lies to save his wife's honor. On the day of judgment, the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, you and I were going to come to Ibrahim, Abu al-Anbiya, and you're going to say, Ya Khalil Allah, ishfa' inda rabbik. Ask Allah to give us protection. Today we're worried. Ithabu ila ghayri. Go someone else. Why? I lied 3 times. Once when I said to my family, inni saqim, I'm sick, I wasn't sick. And when I broke their aliha, man fa'ala hadha bi alihatina, qala bal fa'alahu kabiru. And when I stood in front of the Namrud, who's this? I didn't say it's my wife, it's my sister, because if I said it's my wife, he would have taken her. I lied to protect my wife. Surah Al-Tahrim. The Prophet ﷺ makes haram for himself something that is halal. And Allah says to him, don't do that, Ya Muhammad, تبتغي مرضات أزواجك. You made halal for yourself something that's haram. You made for yourself something haram that I've made halal for you just because you want your wives to be happy. صلى الله عليه وسلم. الرجال قوامون على النساء. They're upright. They're at their service. Musa عليه السلام, he's lost in the desert. His wife, children, family, extended family with him. He puts them in a place of safety and he goes out to see the danger. Where's this light? I can get it. He's looking out for them. Allah says to him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What's in your hand, Ya Musa? قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. This is my stick, I lean on it. Why does he say أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا? The ulama, they tell us التوكل is three things. You know, leaning on his stick meant three things. That if I'm healthy, I use this stick to make sure I don't fall and trip and get hurt because I have a family that need me to cook for them, clean for them, bring food for them, serve them. I can't go missing. I can't have a day off work. So I gotta protect my health. Number two, that لا قدر الله, if I'm sick, I can't just take a day off. So I put pain on my leg or on my back, I still lean on my stick to get through my day. I can't just say, oh no, 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 honey, you go out into the, you get the sheep. Nah. Third, أتوكأ عليها, that if I'm healthy, I protect myself. If I'm ill, I protect myself. If I'm tired, كان موسى عليه السلام, he would lean on his stick as all of the prophets used to do. Sulaiman عليه السلام, Allah describes it in the Quran. ما دلهم على موته إلا دابة الأرض تأكل من سأته. He used to lean on his stick like this because he was so tired that he would fall over. So he would lean on it, so he would look out over his flock. سبحان ربي الأعلى. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Primary duty. So then you come to that hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كلكم راعٍ. Look at the example. Prophet says, all of you are shepherds. You're just like Musa. You need a stick in your life. You need to go to work even when you're sick. You need to take that job that's beneath your pride because you need to put halal on the table. You need to face danger so that your wife and your children don't have to. You need to provide, to be qa'im. And this is an act of rujula. Al-rijal قوامون على النساء. I leave this section with the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She's asked in Sahih al-Bukhari, what did the Prophet do with you all day? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, he's inside there. She says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في خدمة أهلي. What did he do? Don't think it was like, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Badr to Uhud. لا. This is, you know, when we summarize the seerah, most of the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he do? He was there in the service of his family. And that's why you love those hadith. He would sew his clothes and he would cook food and he would wash with Aisha. He would, radiallahu anhunna, ajma'een, all of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he do? He was there for me. He made me feel I was the center of his world. وَإِذَا جَاءَ الصَّلَاةِ. But when salah came, خَرَجَ كَأَنَّهُ لَيَعْرِفُنَا. When it was time for Allah, when it was time for Ya Khayl Allah Irkabi, when it was time there had to be something for the Ummah that took precedent for me, it's like he didn't know me anymore. He would say, Aisha, I'll be back. Khalas. This requires my attention. He would go out to pray, it's like we were unrecognizable to him. Which meant that when he was with her, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she had his full undivided attention. There was no one else. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah describes, may Allah make us of them. رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. True men are those who have taken their vow of committed truth to Allah with the seriousness it deserves. To be truthful does not begin with the tongue. Sidq is one of the objectives of your tawheed. You know, when you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, it doesn't begin with you being truthful in it. This is something you have to develop and nurture. And that's why, you know, nifaq is one of the greatest dangers that the Prophet ﷺ feared for me and you, for our ummah. أن يقوم الرجل فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر المرء إليه. The Prophet worried as a great danger for you and I that when we would pray better just because people are watching us. Just because other people are around me, I'm, mashallah, concentrated. That was a great danger that the Prophet warns his ummah about. إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ from the things I fear the most for my ummah. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Your tawheed begins with ilm. And may Allah bless these sessions of ilm. May Allah increase our knowledge. Allahumma ameen. فَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ لَا Come to know لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا ilm needs to migrate a level up to become yaqeen, certainty. It's one thing that I know, it's another thing that I take it as a truth, a life truth, something that I'm committed to, something that I would give attention to. It's not just something I read about or heard about or learned about or studied. No, it's something I learned and I believe it. It's in my heart. It's transcended just fact and information to becoming real and actualized in my life. There's a proof to it. علم يرتقي إلى اليقين becomes certainty. Certainty leads then to القبول, to acceptance. There's many people who are certain about it, and then, يعني, inshallah, brother, inshallah. يا أخي, make dua, والله, make dua that Allah gives me the ability to pray Fajr. Make dua, يا أخي, Fajr, آية قبلة this way. يلا, بسم الله. Make dua for me, brother, inshallah. Allah, open my heart. يا أخي, you believe in Allah? Yes. You know how to pray? You have ilm? You have mashallah? Now, accept. Acceptance is very difficult. Especially when you and I, we see ourselves lagging in certain things, it's very difficult to say, I'm not doing it, and I know I'm not doing it, may Allah forgive me for it, and feel the pain of it. The one who doesn't feel that pain doesn't have that acceptance. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ When they left what they should be doing, I moved their heart from wanting to do it. You will see this in your life. There used to be a brother, used to be a sister, may Allah protect us, someone in our family, someone we know, who used to come to the masjid, who used to pray, who used to be a good person. SubhanAllah, they strayed a little bit, and now they don't even regret it. When you've made a mistake and it pains you, there's this alam, there's this pain, there's iman in you. But when you khalas have left it, then your heart has left. زاغ الله قلوبهم. علم, يقين, قبول, انقياد. Number four, you now submit. Even though it's difficult. Sister wears her hijab, it's difficult. Brother pushes himself for fajr, it's difficult. He prays fajr at home, now he pushes himself for the masjid. It's difficult. You submit. You put yourself in the things that Allah wants. You prefer them to what your nafs prefers. It's only after that that you begin to taste sudq. And that's why Allah tells you before He says to you, be sadiq, He says, kunu ma'a sadiqin. Be with the truthful. Meaning be with those who have shown evidence for what they claim of knowledge and certainty and acceptance and faith. The one who has a token. Has shown it. كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ Allah speaks about sidq in 12 different ways in the Quran. I don't have time for all of them. He tells you to be truthful with your words, with your actions, to be with those who are truthful, to be not with those who are not truthful, to get up from the one who's not truthful until they become truthful, to be truthful with your purchases and your sales and your trade, all of these are things mentioned directly by Allah in the Quran. So truthfulness leads you then to ikhlas. You know when you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ That ikhlas, it's a step, it's led to it. What leads you to ikhlas is you become truthful with Allah. Most of us, our first lie is not with our tongue, it's with our heart. We lie to ourselves. So may Allah protect us, somebody misses fajr. I say, inshallah khair. Allah ghafoor raheem. Allah will forgive me. Yes. نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عذابي هو العذاب الأليم. Don't take it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His promise of forgiveness, as a blank check for your indiscretion. Because then you are not truthful with Allah. We look in the mirror and we say, you know, some of us, may Allah protect us, sometimes you haven't studied for your test. You know you're going to fail. And you wake up and say, inshallah khair. Inshallah. Inshallah khair. Something's going to happen. I don't know what. Yeah, he had 3 weeks to study. You're not truthful with yourself. You're having a major argument with your wife. Inshallah, inshallah, a couple of days. Allah. You don't want to budge. You don't want to make any change. You lie to yourself. You look at yourself and say, everything's going to be fine. Your health, your attitude, everything. The greatest lies we tell are not to other people. It's the lies you tell to yourself, between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, raqib nafsak. Monitor, may Allah bless us to monitor myself and yourself in our privacy. One of the greatest ways to increase your truthfulness with Allah is your private time. When no one sees you, when you're traveling alone, when you're alone at home, when you're off campus and none of the brothers know you. That's where you build your amal as-salih that increases your truthfulness in the times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surround you by others and will give you a heart that is shakir and a tongue that is dhakir and a being that is sadiq. And that's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda. There was a moment in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I end this section on sirt, and then I'll do just one more. Do we have time? Inshallah. Inshallah. One of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he bought a camel from a merchant, from a man, an unbeliever, and the Prophet paid him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there was no witness. No one was with the Prophet ﷺ when he gave the man money. This man came the next day and said, where's my money? The Prophet ﷺ said, I gave you your money yesterday. He said, فَأْتِ بِشَاهِدْ. Bring me someone right now to be a witness. The man thinks, I know no one was there. So one of the Sahaba, Khudaymah, he says, Ana ashhad. I'm a witness that the Prophet ﷺ gave you the money. He wasn't there. Prophet ﷺ is surprised. The man is surprised. He says, Anta tashhad. He said, Ana ashhad. He said, okay, khalas, and went away. He accepted, because what's he going to say? That was the culture they were in. Someone said, it's my honor on my... So the Prophet ﷺ says to him, كَيْفَ شَهَدْ. How did you bear witness? He said, صَدَّقْتُكَ فِي خَبَرِ السَّمَاءِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. I believe that news has arrived to you from the heavens صلى الله عليه وسلم. أَلَا أُصَدِّقُكَ فِي دَرَاهِمْ. Would I not be truthful and be a witness of you having given some man some gold? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet at that moment, he said, whenever he makes a witness, فَتَعْدِلُ رَجُلًا. It's equal to two. Look at the barakah of this moment. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is asked by Umar over and over, اجْمَعِ الْقُرْآنِ. You have to put the Qur'an. 70 Hufaz have passed away. And you know, there's not many people. Make the Qur'an, put it into one volume. It's scattered in little parts of parchment and on skins and on bones. Who? Zayd ibn Thabit. And he says, as in the hadith in Bukhari, لو أمروني أن أنقل جبلا من الجبال لكان أهون علي من جمع القرآن. If they told me to move a mountain from there to there, it would be easier than to bring the Qur'an together. His methodology was simple. Every verse that was written, its place and its recitation and its context and numbering of the surah had to be confirmed by two sahaba in their reading. There was only the last two verses, or the last verse of Surah At-Tawbah. There was only one sahabi. It was written, and only one sahabi who confirmed it. Who's that sahabi? Khudaymah radiallahu anhu wa ardaah. And they said, Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His is equal to? Allahu Akbar. Sidq, truthfulness. Rijalun sadaqu ma'ahadu Allah alayhi. This is the power of being upright. The moment, may Allah protect us, that we alter our manliness, our ability to remain firm with our word, is the moment we become less men than we want to be and that others expect us to be. Even the kuffar understood this. And I leave with this hadith. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, it's recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. He's in Syria, in Damascus. Allahumma fukka asrahum ya Rab. And as he's in Damascus, Heraclius, who's the governor of the Roman Empire in that region, has received a letter from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about coming to faith. And he says, where are people who live from this man's area? So they said, here's the leader of them. They brought Abu Sufyan. وَمَعَهُ نَفَرْ مِنْ قُرَيْجِ. And behind him are men from Quraysh. And he asked him questions about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his father like? Is he a king amongst you? Was he a beggar amongst you? What's his family? Has he made lies before? He's asking him questions that Abu Sufyan, who at that time, radiallahu anhu wa ardaah, at the time was not a Muslim. He said, لَوْلَا أَنَّ خَلْفِي نَفَرًا مِّن قُرَيْشِ. If it wasn't that there were people from Quraysh standing behind me, who also hate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't believe in Muhammad. But I feared that if I lied about him, that even though I hate him and they hate him, that I feared if I misspoke about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they would brand me a liar. So I prefer to tell the truth about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not be accused of lying. Look at the muru'ah. Kafir. لا يؤمن بالله ولا رسوله. But he would prefer to speak the truth about his enemy than to be known as a liar. So Allah says to us, كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولو على أنفسكم. Even if the truth is bitter, even if it is against yourself, stand up for Allah and for what Allah has ordered you to do, to be from those who are upright. The last discussion about sidq, mashallah, Shaykh Haysam, Allahi barak fi. Is it time for the Shaykh? I don't want to take the Shaykh.
3 minutes.
Okay, 3 minutes. You said I had a lot of time, ya akhi. Allahi barak fi. Look, I leave you with final words of advice. We'll speak about sidq another time. We'll speak about al-muru'ah al-rujula another time. The last thing that I want to say, for those of you who are not yet fathers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you all fathers. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma la taj'alna farban. Allahumma ameen. Don't leave us isolated. Is that what your sons and daughters will learn from you will come from the standard of manliness you display. And therefore, Masha Tawus, there's this famous poem in Arabic that the peacock, it had little peacock kids, right? Little peacocks. And the little peacocks were walking around and strutting and mashallah. And the tawus says to them, what is this? How are you walking this way, you little peacock? What gives you the right to put your feathers open and dance around with your feathers like this? They said, mashallah, baba, you're walking around us all the time. Peacock feathers open, showing us how to do it. And therefore, what you say is not as important as how you say it in front of your children. What you do is very, very important in the standard that your children will use the rest of their life. The first hadith in Sahih Muslim begins, It's a hadith of Umar, but it doesn't begin with Umar. It's from Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, حدثني أبي. My father taught me. Abdullah ibn Umar narrates more than 2,500 hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, sahih. And yet in this hadith, he says, my father taught me. Umar ibn al-Khattab, Aba Hafs, radiallahu anhuma. Why does he say, my father taught me? There's so many. He can say, Muhammad ﷺ. I know of Rasulullah ﷺ. He did. Why does he say, my father? Because you and I need to know that you are as responsible for your children, even if the Prophet ﷺ was alive with you now. Yani, if Rasulullah ﷺ is alive with us now, and we are all learning from him, it doesn't change your duty to teach your children what you know of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And that becomes one of the greatest signs of your well-lived life, that from your generations are those who remain upon the truth you set. So all of the prophets would ask, as Allah records in Surah Al-Baqarah, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Ibrahim asked it, Ishaq asked it, Ismail asked it, Yaqub, who are you going to worship after me? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَاكَ وَإِلَاهَ آبَائِكَ. We're going to worship the God you taught us to worship, and the God of your parents. إِلَاهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. The one true God that we will submit to his authority, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your primary duty is to set that example so that maybe you and I can hear these words that Allah speaks of at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, where he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about the two orphans in the village who Allah sent Musa alayhi salam to build their building. A building is falling over. Allah sends Al-Khidr and Musa, a prophet of Allah and a wali of Allah, to reconstruct it. Why? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father, who's now dead, he was a good man. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord sent us. أَنْ يَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. That this protection, we build this building to protect their treasure, that they will, when they're old enough, can take it out, because Allah valued their father, so he valued their children, his children. In An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Let those who fear for their future generations that they will not be upon firmness, let them in their time begin by fearing me and having taqwa of me, and I will protect their generations. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless your life and bless my life, and make us from those who are the men like those who stood next to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ارزقنا البر والهدى والتقى يا أرحم الراحمين وصل اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.